Kid, cut!
Sit it. I want you to remember that no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country. Amen. All this stuff you've heard about America not wanting to fight, wanting to stay out of the war, is a lot of horse dung. Americans traditionally love to fight. All real Americans love the sting of battle. When you were kids, you all admired the champion marble shooter, the fastest runner, big league ball players, the toughest boxers. Americans love a winner and will not tolerate a loser. Americans play to win all the time. I wouldn't give a hoot in hell for a man who lost and laughed. That's why Americans have never lost and will never lose a war. Because the very thought of losing is hateful to Americans. Now, an army is a team. It lives, eats, sleeps, fights as a team. This individuality stuff is a bunch of crap. The bilious bastards who wrote that stuff about individuality for the Saturday Evening Post don't know anything more about real battle than they do about fornicating. Now, we have the finest food and equipment, the best spirit, and the best men in the world. You know, my God, I actually pity those poor bastards we're going up against. By God, I do. We're not just going to shoot the bastards. We're going to cut out their living guts and use them to grease the treads of our tanks. We're going to murder those lousy Hun bastards by the bushel. Now, some of you boys, I know, are wondering whether or not you'll chicken out under fire. Don't worry about it. I can assure you that you will all do your duty. The Nazis are the enemy. Wade into them. Spill their blood. Shoot them in the belly. When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do. Now, there's another thing I want you to remember. I don't want to get any messages saying that we are holding our position. We're not holding anything. Let the Hun do that. We are advancing constantly, and we're not interested in holding on to anything except the enemy. We're going to hold on to him by the nose, and we're going to kick him in the ass. We're going to kick the hell out of him all the time, and we're going to go through him like crap through a goose. Now, there's one thing that you men will be able to say when you get back home. And you may thank God for it. 30 years from now, when you're sitting around your fireside with your grandson on your knee, and he asks you, what did you do in the great World War II? You won't have to say, well, I shoveled shit in Louisiana. All right, now you sons of bitches, you know how I feel. I will be proud to lead you wonderful guys into battle anytime, anywhere. That's all.
guards need food and clothing. They strip our dead before we can even bury them.
Looks like the reports were pretty accurate.
61 armored vehicles, 45 tons of ammunition, 25 40-millimeter guns, 3 self-propelled 105s. Not counting mortars, machine guns, rifles, pistols, telescopes, belt buckles, GI socks. 1,800 men.
Our people salute you, General, for your brilliant amphibious landing on the continent of Africa, and for your enlightened administration of our country.
I've enjoyed being here, Excellency. Naturally, I'd prefer to be in Tunisia fighting the Germans.
The lions in their dens tremble at his approach.
I appreciate that, Excellency. I wish our troops looked that good.
General, what do you think of Morocco?
I love it, Excellency. It's a combination of the Bible and Hollywood.
These men fight at Kasserine?
Yes, sir.
For the American army to take a licking like that the first time it went against the Germans. Up against Rommel, what we need is the best tank man we've got. Somebody tough enough to pull this outfit together.
Patton?
Possibly.
God help us.
Lieutenant, where's the duty officer?
Sir, I think that he's quite a shady.
Why isn't he here on duty?
Guess he needed to shave. We got a new commanding general due today.
Kicking me in the butt.
Oh, sorry. Sir.
What were you doing down there, soldier?
Trying to get some sleep, sir.
No. Get back down there, son. You're the only son bitch in this headquarters knows what he's trying to do.
Yes, sir.
Brad, how the hell are you?
Fine, George. Good to see you. Hey, we were all under the impression you wouldn't be here until 0900.
Yes, I gathered that. You know my boy, Dick Jensen, Al Stiller?
Yes.
Brad, tell me, what are you doing here?
Well, Ike wanted a report on this Castamine business. Meanwhile, I have to stay here at your headquarters as an observer, but I report directly to Ike.
A spy. Get me General Eisenhower's headquarters. Tell me, Brad, what happened at Casserade?
I heard it was a shambles.
Apparently everything went wrong. We send over a 75-millimeter shell, the Krauss would return an 88. Their tanks are diesels. And even when we managed to hit one of them, they kept on running. Our tanks, the men call them Purple Heart boxes. One hot piece of shrapnel and the gasoline explodes.
I warned them about the tanks.
You know, I talked to one of the soldiers about the half tracks. I asked him if the machine gun bullets pierced the armor. And he said, no, sir. The bullets just come through one side and rattle around a bit.
I understand we had a little trouble coordinating the air cover.
The trouble was no air cover.
General Smith on the line, sir.
Excuse me, sir.
Beetle? Listen, I'm calling about Bradley and his job here. Look, I need a good number two, man. I want to make Brad my deputy commander, okay? You clear with Ike? Well, thanks, Beetle. Now you're not spying for Eisenhower anymore. You're working for me. Okay?
Fine, okay.
Dick, you've got those stars?
Yes, sir.
Let's get them on.
What's the matter, Brad? I've been nominated by the president.
I know, but it doesn't become official until it's approved by the Senate.
Well, they have their schedule and I have mine.
George, if you were named admiral of the Turkish Navy, I believe your aides could dip into their haversacks and come up with the appropriate badge of rank.
Anyway, congratulations. Premature congratulations.
You know, I think those stars look better on a green shirt. Did I ever tell you about the time I designed a uniform for tank crewmen?
It was green leather, had red stripes, and sort of a row of brass buttons down across here, and topped off by a gold football helmet. The Army rejected it, of course. Ah, damn, it was beautiful.
Lloyd Friedengold's just leaving. George, there's one other thing I put in my Kasserine report. Some of our boys were just plain scared.
That's understandable. Even the best foxhounds are gun-shy the first time out. I can remember nothing frightened me as much as the idea of a bullet coming straight for my nose. I don't know why, but the image of a bullet coming right for my nose was more horrible than any other possibility.
Well, I can understand that, George, with such a handsome nose.
You want to know why this outfit got the hell kicked out of it? Blind man could see it in a minute. They don't look like soldiers. They don't act like soldiers. Why should they be expected to fight like soldiers?
You're absolutely right. The discipline's pretty poor.
About 15 minutes, we're going to start turning these boys into fanatics, razors. They'll lose their fear of the Germans. Only hope to God they never lose their fear of me.
Up bright and early, General? Breakfast?
Am I to understand that all my officers have finished breakfast?
Well, we're open from 6 to 8. Most of the officers just coming in, sir.
Please inform these officers that the mess hall is closed.
But, sir, it's only 7:45.
No, and you will open at 6, and no one will be admitted after 6:15. Where are your leggings?
Leggings? Well, hell, General, sir, I'm a cook.
You're a soldier. $20 fine. Gentlemen, from this moment, any man without leggings, without a helmet, without a tie, any man with unshined shoes or soiled uniform is going to be skinned. Barracks. It's not a bordello.
Six,
Morning, Mark.
Morning, sir.
Ah, doctor.
Sir?
I understand you have two cases of self-inflicted wounds.
Yes, sir, we do.
Get them out of here.
Well, sir, one of them has developed a very serious infection.
Well, I don't care if he dies. Just get him someplace, but out of here. It doesn't belong in the same building with men who have been wounded in battle.
I'll see that they're moved, sir.
One more thing. There'll be no battle fatigue in my command. That's an order.
Yes, sir.
Battle fatigue is a free ride. Yellow Belly's ticket to the hospital. I'm not going to subsidize cowardice.
Yes, sir.
Doctor, where's your helmet?
I don't wear a helmet when I'm in the hospital, General.
Start.
I can't use my stethoscope when I'm wearing my helmet.
Well, then cut two holes in your helmet so that you can. And get those yellow bellies out of here today. Hold it.
Turn right here.
Sir, the battlefield is straight ahead.
Please don't argue with me, Sergeant. I can smell a battlefield.
He was out here just yesterday, George.
It's over there. Turn right, damn it.
Was here. The battlefield was here.
The Carthaginians defending the city were attacked by three Roman legions. The Carthaginians were proud and brave, but they couldn't hold. They were massacred. Arab women stripped them of their tunics and their swords and lances. The soldiers lay naked in the sun. 2,000 years ago. I was here. You don't believe me, do you, Brad? You know what the poet said. Through the travail of ages, midst the pomp and toils of war, have I fought and strove and perished countless times upon the star. As if through a glass and darkly, the age-old strife I see. Where I fought in many guises, many names, but always me. You know who the poet was? Me.
Feldmarschall darf ich Ihnen die angeforderten Vernehmungsberichte der amerikanischen Gefangenen übergeben. Es handelt sich um die Gefangenen von Kasserin.
Danke.
Einer der guten Soldaten, wie es scheint, dieser Amerikaner.
Nach einer Schlacht ist wohl kaum festzustellen, ne? Vergessen Sie nicht, dass Ihre Panzer unseren Geschützen hoffnungslos unterlegen waren.
Das Gleiche gilt doch wohl auch für Ihre Führung.
Ja, viel Sauerwerk, Kasserin. War ja auch kein amerikanischer General. Also der britische General Anderson. Wussten Sie das?
Ein britischer General und amerikanische Soldaten? Keine sehr gelungene Kombination.
Mein Lieber, vergessen Sie nicht, dass Montgomery auch ein britischer General ist. Und der Mann hat uns durch ganz Afrika gejagt.
Immerhin sind wir zum ersten Mal auf Amerikaner gestoßen und haben sie besiegt. Mhm. Mich stimmt das sehr optimistisch.
Ja, Sie können es sich auch leisten, Optimist zu sein.
Ich nicht.
There's an opportunity here now for us to mount an offensive. We've concentrated on harassing the enemy's flank, draw strength away from the British. However, it appears now that we could split the Africa Corps, drive through Rommel to the sea.
I'm sorry, Mel, but that territory's been reserved for General Sir Bernard Law Montgomery. We're supposed to let him win this one, no matter how long it takes him to do it.
They're entitled to have their hero. After all, Montgomery did push Rommel clear across North Africa.
What about the Americans? Don't they need a hero, too?
Do you have anybody in mind, George?
Excuse me, sir. Air Vice Marshal Cunningham is here with General Buford.
Oh, excuse me, gentlemen. While I ask our British friends what's happened to our air cover. Round one coming up.
Harry?
Over.
How are you?
There you are.
George? Good to see you. George, you know Arthur Cunningham?
Sir Arthur.
Glad to see you, General.
I've heard so much about you.
Gentlemen, it appears there's been some slight misunderstanding here, and I thought that we ought to get the whole thing straightened out.
No misunderstanding. We're supposed to have Allied air cover, and we don't get it. German planes are constantly strafing my troops.
If I may say so, General, I'm afraid your operations reports are inaccurate.
Reports? 3 days ago, the Krauts took off after my command car, ran my ass into a ditch.
My staff assured me we have complete air supremacy. Everywhere in the Mediterranean.
When I complained about lack of air cover, you said our troops were not battle-worthy. You spoke of the discredited practice of using air force as an alibi for lack of success on the ground. That's bad enough I have to wet-nurse Montgomery. I don't have to stand for that.
I sincerely apologize for that remark, whoever made it. And I promise you one thing, General. You will see no more German planes.
We were discussing air supremacy, Sir Arthur.
Commander, not a casualty.
don't know. But if I could find the Nazi some bitches that are flying those things, I'd give them each a medal.
Can't get over how cold it gets in the desert.
Awfully cold, sir.
Rommel's out there somewhere waiting for me.
Yes, sir.
You know, if I had my way, I'd send that genius son of a bitch an engraved invitation in iambic pentameter. A challenge and two standards to meet me out there alone in the desert.
I'll deliver it.
Rommel and his tank and me and mine. We'd stop about 20 paces, we'd get out, we'd shake hands. And we'd button up and we'd do battle, just the two of us. And that battle would decide the outcome of the war.
That's too bad jousting's gone out of style. It's like your poetry, General. It isn't part of the 20th century.
You're right, Dick. The world grew up. Hell of a shame. Dick, I want a 24-hour guard put around this area. If we don't, the damn Arabs will dig them up, just get their clothes.
Yes, sir.
Our graves aren't going to disappear like everybody else's who fought here. The Greeks, the Romans, the Carthaginians. God, how I hate the 20th century.
Hauptmann Steiger meldet sich zur Stelle, Herr Generaloberst.
Kommen Sie, Steiger.
Ja, immer besser.
Ja.
Herr Generalfeldmarschall, ich hoffe, es geht Ihnen besser. Hauptmann Steiger ist zur Berichterstattung hier. Über den amerikanischen General Patton.
Also gut, Hauptmann, was haben Sie rausgekriegt?
General Patton kommt aus einer Offiziersfamilie. Sein Großvater wurde im amerikanischen Bürgerkrieg ausgezeichnet. Patton erhielt seine Ausbildung am Virginia Military Institute und in West Point.
Na gut, aber was ist er für ein Charakter? Was ist er für ein Mensch?
Er schreibt Gedichte und glaubt an die Seelenwanderung. Er ist einer der reichsten Offiziere in der amerikanischen Armee. Er betet auf den Knien, kann aber wie ein Kutscher fluchen. Und sein Motto lautet, immer angreifen, niemals eingraben.
Verzeihen Sie, wir müssen in einer Viertelstunde beim Führer sein. Er möchte über Ihre Operationspläne gegen Patton informiert werden.
Ich werde ihn angreifen und schlagen. Bevor er dasselbe mit mir macht.
General? General?
Where?
sir. We intercepted a German radio message. Rommel's 10th Panzer is going to hit us near El Guitar.
Rommel. Desperate battle. I'm going to do it.
Look. Italian strength, at least.
Spotted our positions yet.
They'll get an education in about 10 seconds. And they'll get a dose of that artillery fire. Commence firing. Fire at will.
Commence firing. Fire at will. Commence firing. Fire at will.
Here's where we hold my nose. Take him in the escort.
magnificent bastard. I read your book!
Richard N. Jensen was a fine boy. Loyal, unselfish, and efficient. I am terribly sorry. There are no coffins here since there's no wood. We will have a trumpeter and an honor guard. But we will not fire the volleys, as it would make people think an air raid was on. I enclosed a lock of Dick's hair in a letter to his mother. He was a fine man. And a fine officer. And he had no vices. I shall miss him a lot. I can't see the reason such fine young men get killed. There are so many battles yet to fight.
Battle-weary but victorious, American GIs and Tommies of the British 8th Army meet in a joyful Allied victory celebration at Wadi Akarit in North Africa. For the first time in this war, Broadway and Piccadilly join hands. Meanwhile, General Montgomery, hero of El Alamein, continues to lead his veteran and victorious British 8th Army in a relentless drive against Rommel's vaunted Africa Corps.
Meine Herren, es ist offensichtlich, dass Nordafrika nicht mehr lange zu halten sein wird. Wir müssen den nächsten Schritt des Gegners vorausberechnen. Ich erwarte einen Bericht des Stabes innerhalb von 24 Stunden.
Ich danke Ihnen.
Herr Steiger, Sie haben kein Wort gesagt.
Es hat mich auch niemand gefragt, Herr Generalobers.
Dann frage ich Sie jetzt. Glauben Sie, dass Patton Sardinien angreifen wird?
Nein, Herr Generalobers.
Und warum nicht?
Patton ist ein Militärhistoriker. Er weiß, dass immer schon Sizilien und nicht Sardinien der Ausgangspunkt zur Eroberung Italiens gewesen ist. Wenn Patton zu bestimmen hätte, so würde er in Syrakus auf Sizilien landen. Wie die alten Griechen.
Steiger, wir leben im 20. Jahrhundert.
Aber Sie müssen berücksichtigen, Herr General Obers, dass Patton ein Mann des 16. Jahrhunderts ist. Darf ich vorlesen?
Ja, bitte.
In einer stillen Straße in New York, 1922, als sich Patton gerade auf dem Weg zu einem großen Diner befand, sah er, wie drei Männer ein junges Mädchen zwangen, hinten auf einen Lastwagen aufzusteigen. So wie er war, im Frack, sprang er aus seinem Wagen und forderte mit gezogener Waffe die Männer auf, die Frau loszulassen.
Stellte sich später heraus, dass sie mit einem der Männer verlobt war, der lediglich beim Aufsteigen helfen wollte.
Was könnte aufschlussreicher sein?
Ich weiß nicht, worauf Sie hinaus wollen.
Don Quixote streitet mit 6 Kaufleuten aus Toledo auf der Straße, um Dulcinea Zugen zu verteidigen.
Dulcinea, wer ist denn das?
Herr Generalobst, glauben Sie mir, Patton ist ein romantischer Krieger, der in unsere Zeit verschlagen wurde. Pattons Geheimnis ist die Vergangenheit. Er wird den Angriff auf Sizilien deshalb befürworten, weil die alten Griechen es damals auch so gemacht haben.
General Bradley's done a tremendous job with Second Corps. He's moved into Bizerte and taken over 41,000 prisoners.
Good, very good.
You're not surprised, are you, General? After all, you trained that outfit.
Excuse me, General.
Hmm?
Sir, this is interesting. We've discovered Rommel wasn't present at El Guitar.
Who says so?
G2, sir.
Are they telling me that when we took on 10th Panzer, Rommel was in Berlin with an earache?
Severe nasal diphtheria, sir. G2 also reports that Hitler probably retained Rommel in Berlin because things were going badly for the Africa Corps. He didn't want his favorite general to lose face.
Well, I'm my favorite general, and I don't like to be told that some second stringer is up against me. Then I lose face. Who the hell are you, anyway?
General, this is Lieutenant Colonel Codman, your new aide.
Yes, Codman. I pulled your name off the list because I know your family.
Well, I'm glad you did, sir.
Codman, Rommel is the best the Krauts have, and I kicked the hell out of him. Now my own G2 section is trying to tell me he wasn't even there.
But, General, he undoubtedly planned the German battle. If you defeat Rommel's plan, you've defeated Rommel. Isn't that true, sir?
Godwin, I want you to have a drink with me tonight.
Yes, sir.
I have a plan for the invasion of Sicily. I want to make sure I get it approved. You can help me. I want to give a dinner for General Alexander. Get to him before Montgomery does. This will be strictly a formal affair, Codman, but purely social. By that I mean purely political.
Yes, sir.
I want the finest food, the best wine available. Everything. Comme il faut.
Entendu, mon général.
Quelque chose de vraiment spécial.
Ça va sans dire. Qui aimeriez-vous inviter?
Le maréchal Alexander et son chef d'état-major peut-être Tedder. Pas trop de monde, plutôt intime, d'accord?
D'accord, mon général.
Thank you. George?
This is a really splendid wine.
Thank you, Arthur.
Thank you. Mr. Harold, I think it was Alcibiades in the Peloponnesian War, 415 B.C. He said if Syracuse falls, all Sicily falls, and then Italy. He knew, you see, that Syracuse was the jugular of the island, and old Alcibiades always went for the throat. I propose to take Sicily in the same way.
How's it going? I think the old man has him in his pocket.
Now, according to my plan, General Montgomery will land here. I'll hit the beaches here, take Palermo. Monty will drive north along the coast road. I'll come due east, take Messina, and cut off the German escape route.
Yeah. It looks like an interesting plan, George.
Well, gentlemen, to the conquest of Sicily.
To the conquest of Sicily.
To Sicily.
You know, George, you'd have made a great marshal for Napoleon if you'd lived in the 18th century.
But I did, Sir Harold. I did.
Morning. Is General Smith in?
I believe he's in the lavatory, sir.
Thank you. Ah, there you are, Beetle.
Morning.
Beetle, I've been giving a good bit of thought to the Sicily operation.
Yes?
I assume we're alone.
You know, Georgie Patton has already discussed his plan with Alexander.
I realize that. But I have an idea that his plan may lead to an absolute disaster.
Oh?
Beetle, look. This is Sicily. Now then, according to Patton's plan, I would attack Syracuse here,
and he would attack Palermo up here. Now, obviously, our forces would be divided. And just as obviously, they could be chopped up piecemeal. Now then, what I propose, and what I shall insist on, by the way, is this. I will land at Syracuse, as planned, with the Americans will land here, at Gaylon. I will advance north to Messina, with the Americans protecting my flank. After all, Messina is the key. It's the reason for invading Sicily.
I'll discuss your plan with Ike. I'm sure he'll give it serious consideration.
Amusing, isn't it?
What?
That the final plans for the invasion of Sicily should have been put forward in an Algerian laboratory.
George, I've bad news for you about your Sicily plan, I'm afraid. Ike has turned it down. He feels that since the Italians will be defending their native soil for the first time, and since the German resistance is stiffening, our forces shouldn't be divided.
Well, where do my people land then?
In the Gulf of Gela.
What for? There's nothing there but a beach.
Yes, but it puts you in a good position to support Montgomery.
And where does Montgomery land?
Well, he'll land in Syracuse and drive north to Catania, possibly even Messina. And you'll be alongside, protecting his left.
I see. In other words, we get the burden again while good old Monty gets the glory, huh?
Ike had to consider all points of view. He made his decision not as an American, but as an ally. Had it been the other way around, I assure you, Monty would protest.
No, I... been in the Army 30 years. When I get an order, I say yes, sir, and I do my damnedest to carry it out. But this is what happens when your commander stops being an American and starts being an ally.
Hier landet Patton mit seiner 7. Armee am Strand von Gela.
Der Film wurde gleich nach der Landung auf Sizilien erbeutet.
Ich wusste gar nicht, dass er so groß ist.
Über 1,80.
Er gibt dauernd persönliche Befehle.
Offenbar gibt es jetzt zwei Primadonnen nach Sizilien, Montgomery und Patton. Da ist noch ein Drei-Sterne-General, wer ist das?
Das ist General Bradley, er befehligt das amerikanische Zweite Korps.
Er sieht aus wie ein einfacher Soldat.
Bradley ist ein außerordentlich fähiger und bescheidener Mann.
Höchst ungewöhnlich für einen General.
Sam.
I don't think I've made myself clear, sir. It's true Montgomery's met the toughest resistance of the campaign there at Catania. However, if we're
quietly clear... Old Monty's stuck in the bug on flypaper.
Yes, sir, but this order from General Alexander, directing you to give up the Vizzini-Caltagirone road and turn it over to Montgomery.
Well, then old Bradley will have to slug, mind you, his way up the center of the island over those tough mountain roads, won't he?
Yes, sir.
Messina, Bell. Messina! That's the heart of it. They followed my plan, I'd be there by now. I'd cut off the retreat of every goddamn German battalion on this island. All right, now you know what I'm going to do? First, I'm going to go to Palermo. Then I'm still going to beat that limey son of a bitch, Messina. It's the last thing I ever do.
Hey, what's all this talk about taking the Vizzini Road away from Second Corps?
General Alexander's orders. The road goes to Montgomery.
Well, that road was assigned to me. How can I get up north without it? Now, you know the terrain up there.
I'm sorry, Brad, but Monty's running a tough opposition. Very tough.
Now, you wouldn't be taking advantage of this situation, would you, George?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, without that road, your whole army, except for my second corps, would be out of a job. Free for you to go into Palermo if you felt like it.
Who said anything about Palermo?
I can read a map.
Does Alexander know that you pushed out this far?
That's a reconnaissance in force.
George. Are you telling me that I've got to slug it out over those mountains with heavy resistance just so you can make a bigger splash than Monty?
General, I just follow my orders, like the simple old soldier I am.
General Bradley? Sir, General Alexander's heard we're moving west. He says his stuff immediately. Go no farther than Agrigento. Repeat, stop immediately.
That's what you think it says. I think it was garbled in transmission. Ask them to retransmit the message and take your time about it. That'll take half a day at least.
Yes, sir.
Now, Brad. Where were we?
We were talking about a simple old soldier.
Human endeavor shrink to insignificance. That's no sign. Move on.
Is in charge of this operation.
I don't know, but they ought to hang him.
Afternoon, Padre.
General, these gentlemen are here from the States looking over our program for the spiritual welfare of the men.
Good. Stick with us. We'll take you right into Palermo.
Colonel David showed us around your quarters, General Patton, and I was interested to see a Bible by your bed. You actually find time to read it?
I sure do. Every goddamn day.
The American in Palermo, General.
Sir. Patton's taken Palermo.
Damn!
Palermo's the most conquered city in history. First Phoenicians, Romans, Carthaginians, Byzantines, then came the Arabs, Spaniards, Neapolitans. Now comes the American army.
This is from General Alexander, sir, reminding you that you are not to take Palermo.
Send him a message, Todd. Ask him if he wants me to give it back.
Ask you a question, Gretchen. You've just come from Washington. How do they feel about our boys taking Palermo?
Well, sir, the general impression is that your 7th Army barreled through token resistance while Montgomery faced the brunt of the fighting.
My God, don't they know we took on the Hermann Göring Division? Toughest outfit in the German Army.
Well, the people at home are interested in you, General. They're curious about your pearl-handled revolvers.
They're ivory. Only a pimp from a cheap New Orleans whorehouse would carry a pearl-handled pistol.
What about your language, General?
Well, when I want it to stick, I give it to them loud and dirty. Then they'll remember it.
What do your troops feel about that, General?
Yes, damn it, I don't want these men to love me. I want them to fight for me.
Ernie Pyle says you have a secret weapon here in Sicily. General Bradley. The G.I. General, that's what Ernie calls him.
Omar Bradley's no secret. He's a damn fine commander.
What's your feeling about Montgomery?
He's the best general the English have. But he seems a little more concerned with not losing a battle than he does about winning one.
He's not aggressive enough. Is that correct?
Look, boys, I've been getting into a lot of trouble lately. Yesterday, the Inspector General's office told me my Italian prisoners didn't have enough latrines. Hell, they didn't know what a damn latrine was till I showed them. So if I've said anything a little too critical to my distinguished British colleague, let's just forget all about it, huh? We'll tell you one thing, off the record. I'm going to beat that gentleman to Messina.
You realize what this madman Patton is saying? He's going to save our skins by taking Messina.
Well, this report might interest you, sir.
Here I am in these bloody marshes, fighting malaria as well as the Germans, while he's taking Palermo without opposition and getting all the glory. Well, now he's up against 3 good German divisions, and he's stuck for a change. He's not going to get Messina. That is reserved for the British 8th Army and me.
Move, Lucian. Harry Allen's 1st Division is bogged down east of Torino. You're bogged down on the coast road. What we need is another end run just to break things loose.
Lucian, how's my fighter?
Fine, George.
Come in. We need another one of your amphibious specialties. Lucian, I want you to send a reinforced battalion by sea to make a landing up here at Brolo behind the crowd line.
General Bradley says you want me to tie this in with a land-based attack.
That's right. I want a coordinated attack the morning of the 11th.
I don't think we can make the link up by the 11th.
Hell, it's only 15, 20 miles.
Then all my boys have been fighting and dying for yards.
Maybe you better kick a few butts if you have to. Lucian, I recommended you for your DSM and your last promotion. I know what you can do when you put your mind to it.
Excuse me, sir. Sorry, but I can't do the impossible.
You're too old an athlete to think that you can postpone a match that's already been scheduled.
You're an old athlete yourself, sir. You know matches sometimes are postponed.
George, if Lucian's right and we can't back him up by land, our end run could be a disaster. Now, those men might get caught up there on the beach and cut to pieces.
What's the matter with you two?
All we're talking about is not rushing in until we're ready. Give him an extra day.
Just one more day.
The landing is on. We're going to Messina. We're going to get there before Montgomery does. What's so important about that? General Truscott, if your conscience will not permit you to conduct this operation, I'll relieve you and find somebody who can.
General, it's your privilege to relieve me any time you want to.
Well, this match will not be postponed.
you have any questions?
No, sir.
You're a very good man, Lucian. But you want to guard against being too conservative. Remember what Frederick the Great said. L'audace, l'audace, toujours l'audace. Go on, have a drink.
Excuse me, sir, I won't be drinking for the next couple of days.
If anything happens to those men, I'd like to be there with them. Well, you're not going, so forget about it. You believe Truscott's right, huh? No. But I do know that you're gambling with the lives of those boys just so you can beat Montgomery into Messina. And if you pull it off, you're a big hero. But if you don't, what happens to them? The ordinary combat soldier. He doesn't share in your dreams of glory. He's stuck here. He's stuck living out every day, day to day, with death tugging at his elbow. There's one big difference between you and me, George. I do this job because I've been trained to do it. You do it because you love it.
Those men on the beach are really catching hell, General. Truscott's men are doing their best. We have no replacements for them. Can't break through to the coast.
I'm going down there myself.
Get over there.
What the hell are you waiting for?
Looking for a place to shut the fort, General. I sent out a patrol to reconnoiter.
I've already done that. Right down there, the sewer's no more than 3 feet deep. If you get that outfit cranked up, you're going to be out of a job.
And put that helmet on.
Yes, sir.
Holding up this column.
I don't know, sir.
And clear this bridge.
reason we're pinned down, General, is we can't get any air support.
The hell with that. Nobody's getting any air support. If you can't put some fire into this battalion, Colonel, I'll get somebody who can. Major? You the executive officer here?
Yes, sir.
What's your name?
Walker, sir.
Well, you're now the commanding officer. You got 4 hours to break through that beachhead down there. If you don't make it by then, I'll fire you.
Colonel, there are 50,000 men on this island who'd like to shoot that son of a bitch.
Please take me home. Take me home. Please take me home.
There he goes, old blood and guts.
Yeah, our blood. His guts.
Not hard, huh? Where are you from, Gomez?
California, sir.
Me too. Where were you hit?
In the chest, sir.
Well, this might be interesting to you, but the last German I saw didn't have any chest. Didn't have any head either. You get well quickly, son.
What's the matter with you?
I guess I just can't take it, sir.
What did you say?
It's my nerves, sir. I just can't stand the shelling anymore.
Your nerves? Hell, you're just a goddamn coward.
sitting here crying in front of these brave men who've been wounded in battle? Shut up! Don't admit this yellow bastard. Nothing wrong with him. We won't have sons of bitches. We're afraid to fight, stinking up this place of honor. We're going back to the front, my friend. You may get shot, and you may get killed, but you're going up to the fighting. Either that or I'm going to stand up in front of a firing squad. I ought to shoot you myself, you goddamn bastard. Get him out of here! Send him up to the front! You hear me? You goddamn coward! Won't have cowards in my army.
Kick a few butts up there, but Truscott finally broke two of those people on the beach.
Have you seen the casualty list?
Yes, I've seen them. What's the word from the coast road?
Oh, the 3rd Division is east of Brolo, heading toward Messina.
Good, let's get dressed and get over there. I want to go in with the troops.
You go ahead, George. I'm not very good at that.
General Bradley, it's time to consider just how many casualties we'd have if we were still down there crawling along that goddamn road.
Don't smirk, Patton. I shan't kiss you.
Pity, as I shaved very close this morning in preparation for getting smacked by you.
To see me, George? Got a letter here from Ike. I was rereading Caesar's commentaries last night. battle, Caesar wore a red robe to distinguish him from his men, and I was struck by that fact because... Despicable. That's the first time in my life anybody ever applied that word to me.
Well, at least it's a personal reprimand. It's not official.
The man was yellow. He should have been tried for cowardice and shot. My God, have they forgotten about all the people who've taken a hell of a lot worse than a little kick in the pants? I ruffled his pride a little bit. What's that compared to war? 2 weeks ago, when we took Palermo, they called me a hero, said I was the greatest general since Stonewall Jackson.
And now they draw cartoons about you.
Dirty bastard. They got me holding a little GI there and kicking him with an iron boot. You see that? What's on my boot? A swastika. On my boot, an iron boot with a swastika on it. You will apologize to the soldier you slapped, to all doctors and nurses who were present in the tent at the time, to every patient in the tent who can be reached, and last but not least, to the 7th Army as a whole, through individual units one at a time. God, I feel low. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. My soul followeth hard after thee. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped.
Stand put!
At ease. I thought I would stand up here and let you people see if I am as big a son of a bitch as some of you think I am. I assure you I had no intention of being either harsh or cruel in my treatment of the soldier in question. My sole purpose was to try to restore in him some appreciation of his obligations as a man and as a soldier. If one can shame a coward, I felt... one might help him to regain his self-respect. This was on my mind. Now, I freely admit that my method was wrong, but I hope you can understand my motive and will accept this explanation and this apology. Dismissed.
Stand put!
Good evening, General. Just want to make a report on a private poll I've been taking.
What poll?
The fan mail. 11% con, 89% pro. And that 11% of protest in most cases is both obscene and anonymous. But the pro letters are mostly from relatives and servicemen. I want you to know that we are proud our son is serving in your army. From the newspaper accounts, we are not clear exactly what you did and why, but we want you to know we are for you. Keep going, and God bless you.
Keep going, huh? Where?
I thought you might like a sip of wine, General. It's New Year's. You didn't celebrate at all last night.
I'm sick of sitting around this royal doghouse. We've taken Sicily. I'm ready for a new assignment.
Well, maybe you've got it. Here's a radio message just came in.
God, I've been relieved. They've relieved me from command of the 7th Army.
I don't believe it.
Happy New Year.
Just a minute, sir. Since they're sure to give you another command, isn't it logical that they'd relieve you here first?
You mean command of all the American troops going into Europe? It's a possibility. I know it's been discussed from time to time.
Well, the logic of it is so obvious, it couldn't mean anything else. Sir, I'm going to open this bottle of wine.
Now, Sir Codd, but if you find a bottle of cognac and open it, I'll help you drink.
How you feeling tonight, General?
Not bad. Not bad at all. Get me some writing there, will you, George?
Yes, sir.
Your wife ever give you the devil for not writing?
All the time, sir. Only I don't write as often as you do. Don't seem to get around to it.
Lucky thing for us, we got him, huh? Who wants to marry a couple of broken-down old horse cattle?
That's what my wife says to me every time I come home, sir.
What are you doing up so late, George?
Just thought you might like a nice hot bath or a glass of milk or something. I got a sleeping pill from the doctor, sir, just in case you might need it.
Sleeping pill? What's going on here, anyway?
Well, I heard the news tonight, sir. They announced it on the radio.
What news?
It's about General Bradley, sir. How they gave him the top American command for the invasion.
Oh. Yeah.
Well, I just thought you might be feeling kind of low, sir. Writing things here on the desk, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, George.
One little dog face. One measly little slap. But we're done.
Oh, George. I wish I'd kissed the son of a bitch.
Nous rendons hommage au superbe force de la France libre, munies par le général de Gaulle et le général Leclerc.
He's paying tribute to the free French forces under de Gaulle
et
and Leclerc.
Nous les héros, hommes et femmes de la résistance qui risquent la vie chaque jour pour vaincre les Boches.
Also to the brave men and women of the resistance who risk their lives every day to help destroy the Germans.
La France reviendra libre. Je vous entends ma parole.
France will be free again, I give you my word.
Tout comme les troupes de la France libre, on débarque ici en Corse pour libérer la terre natale de Napoléon. Je débarquerai bientôt en France et t'aiderai à la libération de la terre natale de Lafayette.
Just as free French troops landed here in Corsica to liberate the birthplace of Napoleon, I will someday land in France to help liberate the birthplace of Lafayette. General, the reporters would like a word with you.
General Patton, can you tell us something about the purpose of this visit to Corsica?
I was ordered here by General Eisenhower.
It was reported that you wrote the mother of the boy who slapped saying, the yellow rat should have been shot. Is that true, General?
No comment.
Sir, I understand General Alexander suggested that you take over General Mark Clark's Italian campaign. But the War Department killed that because of the slapping incident.
No comment.
Can you tell us where you're going, sir?
General Eisenhower has ordered me to Malta, but that's off the record. Interview concluded.
You plan on slapping any soldiers there, General?
Yeah? Malta?
Yeah, we're going to all of us.
Malta as far as this. And then through Griechenland. Das ist möglich. Geben Sie mir Generalfeldmarschall Keitel.
In 1528, these forts were defended by 400 knights of Malta and 800 mercenaries against a force of 40,000 Turks. Oh, Codman.
Still no word from General Eisenhower?
No, sir.
Not even any response about those two turkeys I sent him for Christmas?
No, sir.
Go ahead, gentlemen. Take a closer look for yourself. Looks as if you boys have hitched your wagon to a fallen star. Pass the word if anybody wants out, I'll understand.
Sir, I can speak to the entire staff. We want to stay with you, no matter what duty you're assigned to.
Up in London, they're planning the invasion of Europe. That's what I've trained my whole mind, body, and spirit for. What in God's name are we doing here? All right. Let's get on to Cairo. See if the pyramids are still standing.
Es gibt nur einen einzigen Grund, warum er in Kairo ist. Um mit den griechischen und jugoslawischen Exilregierungen zu verhandeln. Verdammt nochmal, sollen die Italiener Italien verteidigen. Es ist ja schließlich ihr Land. Wir brauchen unsere Truppen auf Kreta und an der griechischen Küste, um unsere Einheiten dort zu verstärken, falls Fetten von Ägypten aus losschlägt.
Herr Generalovers, ich habe neue Informationen. Fetten steht im Kreuzfeuer strenger Kritik. Es besteht sogar die Möglichkeit, dass er vor ein Kriegsgericht gestellt wird. Hat einen Soldaten geohrfeigt.
Steiger, glauben Sie denn wirklich alles, was Sie in Ihren Zeitungen schreiben? Sie werden gerade Ihren besten Kommandeur opfern, weil er einen Muschkoten geohrfeigt hat.
place is for me?
Yes, sir. This way, sir.
Whoever found it has a genius for cloak and dagger. Who picked this cat out?
I believe it was General Smith, sir.
He did it to spite me, son of a bitch.
Welcome to London, George, eh?
There you go. How are you?
Is Zack here? He asked me to brief you. Would you excuse us, please? First, let me put you straight about Ike. We hear a lot about you criticizing his decisions.
Nah, not really, Bill. You know me. I'm just an old fool. Sometimes I do wonder whether he isn't a limey at heart.
George, this is the toughest coalition ever attempted in history. Ike sits at the top, trying to hold it together and lick the Germans at the same time. Now, believe me, it's one hell of a job.
I appreciate that.
Now, we have an important assignment for you in connection with the Normandy invasion.
Good. Now, I've studied the Overlord plan, and it has a number of flaws in it. Not the least of which is its dependency on Monty taking Khan by D-Day. He'll never make it. Now, I've drawn up an alternate plan which calls for a landing at Calais following an air bombardment.
Please, will you just listen for a change? Remember, Ike stood by you when everyone, and I mean everyone, wanted Patton with a rope around his neck. We're going to let it leak out that you are here undercover. That you're preparing to invade at the Pas de Calais. We hope to pin down the German 15th Army there so they can't be used against us at Normandy.
Is that all you people think I'm good for?
We're going to build an army of 12 divisions around you. All fictitious, of course. Dummy troop concentrations, dummy landing craft, simulated radio traffic. You see, the Germans are convinced that you are going to lead the main invasion effort. Their agents will spot you here before long, then we can move you to your new headquarters at Knutsford.
What do I do there?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Frankly, George, you're on probation. If you take my advice, you'll behave yourself. Remember, your worst enemy is your own big mouth.
Nasty face, son of a bitch, Captain. Prepare for combat. I'm going to call him William, but William McCombat.
General, maybe you want to leave him in the car.
No, sorry. Good afternoon, lady.
Good afternoon.
Watch this car.
General, he'll kill that dog.
Now, nah, hold it.
I'm terribly sorry, General. Did Abigail frighten your dog?
That's quite all right.
This way, sir.
Your name isn't William. It's Willie.
My dear friend, General George F. Patton, Jr. has accepted our invitation to say a few words to you on the occasion of this inaugural ceremony. General Patton is not here in an official capacity, and I have assured him most earnestly that nothing he says will be quoted. May I present General Patton?
Remember, sir, watch your language.
My dear ladies, until today, my only experience at welcoming has been to welcome Germans and Italians to the infernal region. At this, I have been quite successful, since the troops which I've had the honor to command have to date killed or captured some 170,000 of our enemies. I feel that such clubs as these are of very real value, because I believe with Mr. Bernard Shaw that the British and the Americans are two peoples separated by a common language. And since it is the evident destiny of the British and Americans to rule the world, the better we know each other, the better we will do it.
The Russians. Don't forget the Russians.
I think that a club like this is an ideal place for promoting mutual understanding. Because as soon as our soldiers meet and get to know the English ladies and write home and tell our women just how lovely you truly are, then the sooner the American ladies will get jealous and force this war to a quick termination. And then I will get a chance to go to the Pacific and kill Japanese.
Nation, mass meetings are held to protest General George Patton's statement that Britain and America will rule the post-war world, that Russia will have nothing to say. Congressional leaders like Senator Claiborne Foss are quick to react.
This man has insulted our Russian allies, implying Anglo-American world rule. In my opinion, he should be severely disciplined.
No, Beale. This time I didn't do a damn thing. They promised me there wouldn't be any reporters there. All I did was make a few remarks off the record.
I told you to keep your mouth shut. You wouldn't listen. Don't you realize how suspicious the Russians are, the British and ourselves?
I was only trying to be polite to the old ladies. If there'd been any Russians there, I would have mentioned them. I don't like the sons of bitches, but I would have mentioned them out of politeness. Beadle, I don't know anything about politics. You know that. I have no political ambitions after the war. All I want to do is to command an army in combat.
Well, it's out of our hands now. Ike sent a message last night to the chief of staff. So now it's up to General Marshall to decide whether you stay here as a decoy or he sends you home.
Well, he's a good man. At least he's a fair man. I'll let it sit with him. I am destined to achieve some great thing, what I don't know. But this last incident is so trivial in its nature and so terrible in its effect, it can't be the result of an accident. It has to be the work of God. The last great opportunity of a lifetime, an entire world at war, and I'm left out of it? God will not permit this to happen. I am going to be allowed to fulfill my destiny. His will be done. Thank you.
greatest amphibious operation ever attempted. A pre-dawn naval bombardment prepares the way for Allied soldiers to assault the Normandy beaches and claw out a desperate foothold on the continent of Europe.
I knew Montgomery couldn't take Khan on D-Day at D+10. I said so. Here they are, all hung up in the hedgerow country. What they should do now is pivot the way von Schlieffen planned it in the First World War. Then we might get a chance to do some real broken field running. All right, they don't listen to me. What a way to enter the continent of Europe, huh? Along with all the rest of the spare parts.
Sir, everything on this plane is high priority. General Bradley wouldn't send for you unless he had something in mind.
Well, I'll tell you, Cod, I've learned my lesson. If I ever do get another chance, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm going to play the game. If I forget, you remind me.
I'll give you a gentle nudge in the ribs.
Give me a swift kick in the ass.
Yes, sir.
Welcome to France, sir.
I hope the war's still on, Hanson. Where's the boss?
Right this way, sir.
Haven't seen you since Messina.
General, how are you?
I hear you're doing a splendid job decoying the Jerrys. Well, you'll forgive me. I'm off for the fun. This is everything, aboard. Run away. Intelligence confirms that I'm against Rommel again.
Rommel.
Hi, how are you, George?
Pretty fair, Brad. How are you?
Fine.
My, isn't this plush? Looks like you're bucking for Archbishop.
Well, Chet Hansen had this rig built for me. George said, Ike wanted me to talk to you. I told him that you and I could level with each other.
That's right.
We're going to make Third Army operational as soon as I can take over 12th Army Group.
Did I get it?
I'll be honest with you. I've had reservations.
Well, you've been my senior ever since I left the academy. You were the boss in North Africa and Sicily, and I just thought, well, it might be a problem for the both of us.
Wouldn't bother me.
There's one other thing. I don't want to hit this one too hard, but
we're different kinds of people, George.
You're right, Brad. God damn it, you're always right. With your brains and my screwy ideas, we'll make a wonderful team. We proved that in Sicily.
I tell you the truth, if I'd been your senior in Sicily, I would have relieved you.
Brad, I've crawled in my belly to get a command. For God's sake, you've got to get me in this fight. The only way I can get out of the doghouse is to do something spectacular. I've got to get back in the war. My God, Hitler's own people tried to kill him a couple of days ago. First thing you know, it'll all be over and... I'll keep my mouth shut. I'll behave myself. I give you my word.
George, I've been working on a plan called Cobra. I'd like to know what you think of it. Now, we've been slugging our way through hedgerow country half an acre a day, and we've got to find a way to break out. I want to use this road, the San Lopier Road. We'll let Monty pin down the enemy forces at Cannes. We'll pulverize an area 3.5 miles wide with saturation bombing, and then 7 divisions will follow through. The Third Army will swing around here, a sweeping end run right across France. What do you think?
I think you need a screwball old horse cavalryman to command Third Army. George.
Ike came to that conclusion in London 3 months ago.
He what? Why, that dirty... I'm sorry. I promise to keep my mouth shut.
Was macht der Feind bei Couton? Feindliche Panzertruppen durchbrechen unsere Verteidigungsstellungen bei Lestay. Amerikanische Panzereinheiten stoßen mit hoher Geschwindigkeit in die rückwärtigen Gebiete vor.
Was haben wir, General Fettenstall? Aber das hört sich sehr nach Fetten an.
Fetten ist doch in England.
Wissen wir das genau?
Die Landung in der Normandie war nur ein Täuschungsmanöver. Die Invasion wird sich bei Calais abspielen, und zwar unter Fetten. Der Führer hat angeordnet, dass die 15. Armee unter keinen Umständen in die Normandie verlegt wird.
Ja, die Männer der 15. Armee sitzen am Strandfern von Calais und spielen mit Kieselsteinen, während unsere Soldaten in der Normandie abgeschlachtet werden.
15. Armee erwartet Patton bei Calais. Da wird er auch landen, in Calais.
Sie bringen es offenbar fertig, diesen Unsinn unwidersprochen hinzunehmen, Jodel.
Warum? Weil ich nicht darauf aus bin, dem Führer zu widersprechen.
George would at least have the courtesy to let us know where he's going.
Good God, look at that. Where are you going, General?
Berlin! I'm going to personally shoot that paper-hanging son of a bitch!
And he's good for another 30 miles.
All right, now look, let's pay attention. We're going to clean this mess up right now. Let's move this vehicle out this way, this one out this way. Back that thing up there. And we'll take this one here. All right, get up off your ass. Let's go now. That's it. Good boy. All right, come on. Come on now. Here we go. Come on. That's it. That's it. Gun it. Gun that thing. Okay, come on. Watch it. Go, go, go. Come on. Hold it up. Come on, baby. Yeah, yeah. Come on. That's it. Come on now. Come on, keep coming. Keep coming. Hold it up there. Now, come on, hold it. Hey, dummy, hold it, friggin' back. Got it. That's it, come on. Good boy. Hold it up there.
General. General Bradley wants to have a word with you. Down there.
Okay. Come on. Okay. Hold it up. Take over.
George, you'd make a good traffic cop. George, this drive to the Zane has been absolutely magnificent, but I'm sorry to say I'm going to have to slow you down.
What the hell for?
Well, for the time being, we're going to have to cut off your supplies. Gasoline, ammunition, everything. Shape is up against a new set of priorities.
I think I smell Montgomery.
Oh, now, take it easy, George. There are serious issues involved here, political issues.
My God, it is Montgomery.
The launching sites for the B-2 bombs are all in his area. Mr. Churchill wants those rocket bases destroyed. Hitler's killing more civilians in London than he is soldiers in the field.
They expect Montgomery to do anything about it? You give me that gasoline and I'll gain ground with it. I'll kill Germans, too. Give me 400,000 gallons, I'll go to Berlin.
George, I can't do it.
Brad, the Siegfried line is an empty shell. They stripped all the equipment and sent it to the Eastern Front. It's overgrown and crawling with cows. I could punch through it in 2 days.
Now, there's no use arguing with me. It wasn't my idea.
If you won't let me kill the enemy, why did you pick me to command?
I didn't pick you. I picked you. George, you have performed brilliantly. You are loyal, dedicated. You're one of the best field commanders I've got, but you don't know when to shut up. George, you're a pain in the neck.
I have a lot of faults, Brad. But ingratitude isn't one of them. I owe you a lot. Hell, I know I'm a prima donna. I admit it. What I can't stand about Monty is he won't admit it.
Run out of gas. The point tank has run out too. And there's a Krupp column up ahead.
Yeah, I know.
Thank you.
command here, Captain?
I was in command. My tank platoon was supporting an infantry company. Tanks ran out of gas, so we had to fight it out. We started at 11 o'clock last night. Finished a couple hours ago. This morning, the fighting was hand-to-hand.
Dream last night. In my dream, it came to me that right now the whole Nazi Reich is mine for the taking. Think about that, God. I was nearly sent home in disgrace. Now I have precisely the right instrument, at precisely the right moment of history, in exactly the right place.
The Tsar?
This will change, too, very quickly. Like a planet spinning off into the universe. A moment like this won't come again for 1,000 years, and all I need is a few miserable gallons of gasoline. Right now, the weak spot is here. In 10 days, we could be in Berlin.
What about the fortifications if we're done? In Metz?
Fixed fortifications, sir. Monuments to the stupidity of man. Now, when mountain ranges and oceans could be overcome, anything built by man can be overcome. You know how I'm sure they're finished out there? The carts. They're using carts to move their wounded and their supplies. The carts came to me in my dream. They kept buzzing around in my head. I couldn't figure it out. Then I remembered. A nightmare in the snow, the endless, agonizing retreat from Moscow. How cold it was. They took the wounded and what was left of the supplies and threw in the carts. The folding was finished. Not any color left, not even the red of blood. Only the snow. Look at this cart. I love it. God help me, I do love it so. I love it more than my life.
Is liberated, and French troops lead the way. The Allies march into the historic city after 4 years of Nazi occupation. The hard-fighting French 2nd Armored Division, under Major General Jacques Leclerc, gets a welcome they will never forget as they enter their beloved Paris. In a powerful drive to the north, British General Montgomery cuts off and bypasses the French coastal towns of Boulogne, Calais, and Dunkirk, pushing on to capture the vital Belgian port of Antwerp. Meanwhile, the main body of Patton's army, resupplied now and rolling like a juggernaut, is slashing toward the Tsar. Nazi resistance appears to be crumbling, and it seems that nothing can stop our troops from driving on into the heart of Germany.
Sir, General Bradley, on your line.
Yes,
Listen, I've got a bridgehead across the Saar. I'm on my way into Germany.
Wait a minute, George. There's a lot of trouble up north. Now, listen, I want you to transfer 10th Armored to Middleton's 8th Corps right away.
Now, Brad, you can't do that.
George, now listen, I don't have time to argue. There's a lot of enemy activity up around Ardennes. No, I don't know how serious it is, but Ike wants us to meet with Beadle Smith tomorrow at Verdun. Be there at 1100.
Yes, sir.
Assume that the Germans are mounting a major offensive. The weather is awful. Their supplies are low. The German army hasn't mounted a winter attack since Frederick the Great. Therefore, I believe that's exactly what they're going to do. Out of our eastward attack, changing directions 90 degrees, moving up to Luxembourg.
Don't look so stunned, Berlin.
I want you to plan for three possible axes of attack. From Dunkirk, due north. From Arlon to Bastogne. From Neufchâtel against the German left flank.
Identified four German armies, the 7th, 5th Panzer, 6th SS Panzer, and the 15th. They hit us with 26 divisions. They overran two regiments of the 106th Division, and 7,500 of our men were forced to surrender. Our immediate concern is that von Rundstedt has the 101st Airborne trapped here, at Bastogne.
Bastogne, by the way, is the key to this entire area. If we can hold it, we can break up the entire German offensive. If they take it, we're in serious trouble. Ike wants to know if anybody can get up there and relieve the 101st before they're torn to pieces.
I'm afraid there's nothing that Field Marshal Montgomery can do. At any rate, not for some weeks.
What about you, George?
I can attack the three divisions in 48 hours.
Well, I'd give myself some leeway if I were you.
Ike wants a realistic estimate, George. You're in the middle of a fight now, and it's over 100 miles to Bastogne. My staff's already working out the details. Well, frankly, I don't see how it's possible. Not in this kind of weather.
I should have thought you'd want to fall back and regroup.
Not me, Freddy. I don't like to pay for the same real estate twice.
But what about your men? You can't pull them out of the line and cart them up 100 miles and then expect them to attack without rest.
I trained these men, Arthur. They'll do what I tell them to do.
Perhaps we hadn't realized that you were quite so popular with your troops, General.
I'm not. They'll do it because they're good soldiers. And because they realize, as I do, that we can still lose this war.
Well, I think I can speak for Field Marshal Montgomery.
He'd say you're asking the impossible of your men.
Of course he would. Because he's never realized that that's what we're in business for.
General McAuliffe turned down a German surrender demand. You know what he said?
What?
He said nuts.
Keep moving, Colonel. A man that eloquent has to be saved. Pays off. The training and the discipline. No other outfit in the world. Pull out of a winter battle, move 100 miles, go into a major attack with no rest, no sleep, no hot food. God, I'm proud of these men.
Fingernails.
Damn, the air cover's what we need. If we had 24 hours of decent weather, we might make it.
General Mason, sir.
Mace. Listen, we're short on foot soldiers. I want you to cannibalize your anti-aircraft units and turn them all into riflemen. Yes, every damn last one of them you can find.
Evening, General. I just got the weather report for tomorrow. More so.
There goes our air cover. Sir, we may have to pull up and wait for better weather. Brave men dying up there. I'm not going to wait, not an hour, not a minute. It's time to keep moving. Is that clear? We're going to attack all night. We're going to attack tomorrow morning. If we're not victorious, let no one come back alive.
You know something, General? Sometimes they can't tell when you're active and when you're not.
It isn't important for them to know. It's only important for me to know.
You want to see me, General?
Oh, yes, Chaplain. I'm sick and tired of Third Army having to fight the Germans. The Supreme Command, no gasoline. And now this ungodly weather. I want a prayer, a weather prayer.
Weather prayer, sir?
Yes, let's see if you can't get God working with us in this thing.
Couldn't take a pretty thick rug for that kind of praying.
I don't care if it takes a flying carpet.
Well, I don't know how this is going to be received, General. Praying for good weather so we can kill our fellow man.
Well, I can assure you, sir, because of my intimate relations with the Almighty, if you write a good prayer, we'll have good weather. I expect that prayer within an hour.
Yes, sir.
Almighty and most merciful Father, we humbly beseech thee of thy great goodness to restrain this immoderate weather with which we've had to contend. Grant us fair weather for battle. Graciously hearken to us as soldiers who call upon thee, that armed with thy power, we may advance from victory to victory and crush the oppression and wickedness of our enemies and establish thy justice among men and nations. Amen.
That chaplain. He stands in good with the Lord, and I want to decorate him.
General!
supported by medium bombers and fighter bombers, which fly countless sorties against German positions, elements of the Third Army, spearheaded by the 4th Armored Division, drive into the besieged city of Bastogne to relieve its 18,000 defenders on the day after Christmas. During this operation, Third Army moved farther and faster and engaged more divisions in less time than any other army in the history of the United States.
Does this the same? The same.
Seien Sie sich, Steiger, vernichten Sie alles. Haben Ihre Karten, alles, was hier rumliegt.
Wird alles vernichtet werden, da können Sie ganz sicher sein, Herr Generaloberst.
Nur nicht den Russen in die Hände fallen. Da mache ich selbst Schluss, wie der Führer in seinem Bunker.
Auch hier wird zugrunde gehen. Tatsache, dass es keinen Krieg mehr gibt. Den Umfeld. Leib und Seele fällt her. Großartiger Anachronismus.
Katkoff would like to know whether you will join him to drink to the surrender of Germany.
My compliments to the general. Please inform him that I do not care to drink with him or any other Russian son of a bitch.
Sir, I cannot tell the general that.
You tell him that. Tell him word for word.
Он говорит так точно. Не то, что с вами не буду выпивать, но ни с каким русским сукин сыном.
Он тоже сукин сын. Скажите.
The general says he thinks that you are a son of a bitch too.
Okay. I'll drink to that. One son of a bitch to another.
One здравствуйте. Хочу будет пить. Один сукин сын до другого. All
right. Thank you.
Hurrah!
General, is it true that President Roosevelt, before he died, promised you a combat command in the Pacific?
Yes, he did, but now that he's gone, I don't think there's much chance of that. Doug MacArthur doesn't want me out there.
We've been told about these wonder weapons the Germans were working on. Long-range rockets, push-button bombing, weapons that don't need soldiers.
Wonder weapons? Thank God I don't see the wonder in them. Killing without heroics, nothing is glorified, nothing is reaffirmed. No heroes, no cowards, no troops, no generals. Only those who are left alive and those who are left dead. I'm glad I won't live to see it.
It's been pointed out, General, that you're still using former Nazis in key positions, despite the official denazification policy.
Well, if I'm supplied with trained personnel, I'll get rid of the Nazis. Until then, I'll use the people who can run the railroads and keep the telephones working.
After all, General, didn't most ordinary Nazis join the party in about the same way Americans become Republicans or Democrats?
Yes, that's about it.
You do agree, don't you, General, that our national policy should be made by civilians and not by the military?
Of course I agree. But the politicians never let us finish. They always stop short and leave us with another war to fight.
You thinking about our Russian allies?
Sir, did you say if you found your army between the Germans and the Russians, you'd attack in both directions?
No, I never said that. I never said any such thing. But I wish I had.
Sir, there's a call on your line from Supreme Headquarters, General Smith.
Beadle?
Ike is furious. How could you possibly compare the Republicans and Democrats to the Nazi Party? And this statement that you refuse to denazify has everybody screaming, the Russians, the British, everybody.
Well, the hell with the mongoloid Russians. We've given them Berlin, we've given them Prague, God knows what else. Are we going to let them dictate policy, too?
George, don't be a fool. The war in Europe is over. Washington dictates policy.
Well, the war shouldn't be over, and we should stop pussyfooting about the goddamn Russians. We're going to have to fight them sooner or later anyway. Why not do it now when we've got the army here to do it with? Instead of disarming these German troops, we ought to get them to help us fight the damn Bolsheviks.
George, you better shut up. This line may be tapped.
Well, I don't give a damn if it is. I'll tell you something, Beadle. Up until now, we've been fighting the wrong people. Look, you and I don't have to get involved. You're so damn soft about it. You leave it to me. In 10 days, I'll have us at war with those sons of bitches, and I'll make it look like their fault.
George, you're mad. You're absolutely out of your mind.
Well, I'm no diplomat. I'm a combat soldier. That's all these jokers understand. You get Ike to give me the word, and I'll kick the behinds back into Russia where they belong.
Shall I call the artist back, sir?
Nobody wants to see a picture of me. I'm mad. Didn't you know that?
Field Marshal Montgomery, His Majesty is prepared to receive the next Chief of the Imperial General Staff.
Take care of yourself, Colonel. George.
Well, gentlemen, all good things must come to an end. And the best thing that's happened to me in my life has been, the honor and privilege of commanding the Third Army. Goodbye. And God bless you. They've taken Third Army away from me. I know. I just thought we could have dinner together tonight. Thank you, Brad. It's damn thoughtful. I appreciate it. Right now, I think I'm going to take Willie for a walk. After all I've been through, imagine getting killed by an ox. Oh, Brad, there's only one proper way for a professional soldier to die. That's from the last bullet of the last battle of the last war. At least the Third Army earned its pay. In our drive across Europe, we liberated 12,000 cities and towns, inflicted 1.5 million enemy casualties.
I have a feeling that from now on, just being a good soldier won't mean a thing. I'm afraid we're going to have to be diplomats, administrators, you name it.
God help us.
George, I want to say one thing. You've done a magnificent job here in Europe. That's right, George. I think that soldier you slapped back there in Sicily did more to win the war than any other private in the army. I'll see you for dinner. 6:30?
Roman conquerors returning from the wars enjoyed the honor of a triumph, a tumultuous parade. In the procession came trumpeters and musicians and strange animals from the conquered territories, together with carts laden with treasure and captured armaments. The conqueror rode in a triumphal chariot, the dazed prisoners walking in chains before him. Sometimes his children, robed in white, stood with him in the chariot or rode the trace horses. A slave stood behind the conqueror, holding a golden crown and whispering in his ear a warning that all glory is fleeting.